It is Wednesday, November 30, the last day of spring. Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. England have scored over at the World Cup. Goal England. Can't quite see who that is, but they've gone 1-0 up against Wales this morning as these two games currently in progress, trying to decide Group B. And it is a goal for Marcus Rashford. And a beautiful free kick just outside the box. Look at that, top right corner.
It's Beckham-like, that, Middo.
Keeper of side. Nah.
Beckham-like.
Can't put him in that category.
Bend it like Beckham.
By the way, on Bex, how about him? UK press reporting.
$36,000 a night.
Yeah, $36,000 a night. But, and he's been forced to leave his hotel room in Qatar.
Have you ever stayed in a $36,000 room night?
Don't ask me that question on radio. Excuse me. It's none of your business.
I'd love to know what it's like. $36,000.
Apparently the fans found out he was staying
there.
I stayed
in one hotel in Dubai. I didn't pay for it. Oh. It was gifted.
What was that?
I'm not going to know because I'll have to read about it.
All right.
But it was very expensive.
Very expensive.
And it was a presidential suite.
Right. And is it just bells and whistles? Unbelievable.
Mate, this thing had, it was like.
They've just scored again.
Bigger than a 4-bedroom apartment. It was
really
massive. Piano, snooker table.
Well, were you alone?
It was 4-bedroom apartment. That was my next question.
It's none of your business either.
How many people were in the room?
All of this is none of your business. England scored again.
Yeah, but, you know, we're mates.
Yeah, and I'm happy to tell
listening.
You. Off radio, no one's listening.
Yeah,
I know.
Foden scored,
eh? Yeah, Foden. Phil Foden scored England 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-0 up against...
Who's your favourite England player? Loz.
Mine?
Yeah, current.
Foden.
What's his first name?
Jeff.
Phil.
Whose voice is that? Oh, by the way, we've got an issue to sort out here. Michelle from Dubbo rightly points out, and I don't think, and as I say, a very good morning to the great Dean Bulldog Richie.
Good morning.
Good morning, blokes. I'm a bit late to the party. What have I missed, RE, the big spider saga? Well, we haven't told... Sorry,
you're looking towards me. Was it hiding over here somewhere? Is it
on the Sunday show, Loz? Right. About 8 o'clock, Tanya Thomas came in to help. Backtracked a million miles an hour and collided with the camera.
Right,
terrified. There was a huntsman up on that wall, right above you. That was the size of your fist. I said it looked like a dog with a collar. And it hasn't been found, so there's every chance it's still in here somewhere.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Floating
around. I've got a phobia of spiders.
Yeah, well, so does Middo and so does Clarky.
Oh, I don't know if I'm...
Well, three of us are going to be good.
I don't have a phobia. I'm not friends with them. I don't want to... I'd prefer for it to stay in its hole. I don't want to see it. Yeah. I don't definitely want it to drop on me.
Yeah, see, snakes, I'm no good around snakes. I'm no good around...
People.
No, people, that's one of my strengths, actually.
It's when you're dancing. And singing.
Love all that. But it's good morning, Bulldog. How are you?
I'm good, yes. You had a good trip to New Zealand?
Yeah, had a really good trip, mate.
Good man.
Yeah, no.
I love New Zealand. Very good spot over there.
Tell you what, there's some underrated places over there.
100%.
Yeah. Where they live, up on the Hibiscus Coast, it's beautiful. Just some really lovely country up there.
Good accommodation, easy to get around.
Was your
close to home?
$36,000.
Good dollar value.
No,
okay.
No, it wasn't, mate.
Let's get back to the $36,000.
Beckham.
Night.
So he got kicked out.
No,
he left for privacy reasons.
He left for privacy reasons.
Yeah, so he's just gone somewhere more private. That's okay.
Yeah, you'd think security'd be heavy though, around a $36,000 a night joint, wouldn't you?
You're entitled to put a latch on the door, aren't you?
I'm not sure he's concerned about the door part. Might be the windows that look straight out to the ocean that everyone's staring back in at.
What would you do in a $36,000 a night room?
I'd never leave.
Yeah.
I'd never leave.
Get your money's worth.
Absolutely.
Do you get free minibar for $36,000?
I'd
surely.
Hope so, wouldn't you?
Keep the pillow?
I wonder what the bath...
I'd be walking out with a sofa over my back.
I wonder what the bath and the toilet would be like.
Take the bed.
You know what?
Toilet would be massive.
You'd have to flush
in
it.
The end,
when you get off, it's automatic flush. It's got a heater. It's got a cooling system.
You know, in the end, it's still a toilet.
Different toilets.
You'd sit on it for a while.
Bidet?
No, it's not. It's got... They have these buttons, like that Crown has it. Crown Casino has it. They have these buttons on the side.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much a...
It's a menu?
It's a car wash. Just
cold water, hot water.
You name it. Air dryer, fan. Just press the button. It's a car wash.
There you go.
So not every toilet's the same.
Okay.
I think the toilet. I think their toilets are about 10 grand. There you go. At Crown.
10 grand a toilet.
So when you stayed in that joint in Dubai, was
it? Dubai,
you
say,
Can you give us just one feature that would have?
The piano. A piano in your hotel room. Okay. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like grand piano in your hotel room. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before in my life. That's in the movies.
Would you play a bit of Hot Cross Buns?
No, I didn't. I can't. I can do. What do I do? The start of Fera Jaka. That's all I got. Yeah.
If you were entertaining a guest in the hotel room, would you just sort of walk in after having a couple of drinks and sit down?
No.
Just dabble on the ivories? Play a tune?
I'd turn the speaker on and play some tunes, but no, I'm not.
Loosen the tie.
No. I'm not.
It's a little number I wrote for you.
Musical.
A little head bobble.
More champagne.
No, there was none of that. There was no playing of the piano.
Yeah, I'm sure there wasn't.
Bulldog. Talk some business. And it was business for Anthony Seibold as he returned from the UK and went straight to Brookvale yesterday.
Yeah, he did, Meadow. He got off the plane yesterday morning and, as you said, drove directly to Brookvale, met the media, 15-minute press conference, posed up for photos. Seibold said all the right things. He broached the, obviously, Pride jersey, Tom Trbojevic, Manly's failure this year, his coaching methods. He was very honest. He was very forthright. And I left there yesterday thinking, you know what, it might work. Given, you know, let's not forget, Seib's left Brisbane in a bad way. It was 1.5 years into a 5-year deal.
Unbelievable.
And I thought at that point he'd never get a start again. And so, look, he's back. And I can't work out Manly though, Clarkie. Are they going to finish 15th, Laurie, or 4th? Do you know what I mean? There's that unknown about Manly.
I think they'll have a good season.
If they can, Seibold can get the best out of them.
He said he's got nothing to prove. I think it's the opposite. I think because of what happened at Brisbane, he actually has everything to prove.
I think he does, Clarkie. I think he knows that. I don't think he wanted to say that to put pressure on himself.
Okay.
I think deep down he knows he's got everything to prove. He got the contract of his life at Brisbane. And it fell apart within 18 months. You've got something to prove. Mate. And fortunately for Anthony Seibold, he's been given the opportunity to prove people wrong. So, you know, he's very fortunate in that way. But look.
But I always reckon you come back as a better coach.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going through some adversity and you get another opportunity and you've had a couple of years of experience behind you, I think you learn a lot. You learn a lot more by going through those bad times. It's just about getting another opportunity to try and have that success. And if you pick the right club and you pick the right roster, you're more chance than not of having success. In particular, if you've got that group of players who you know can perform that are coming off a bad season.
He said the year at Newcastle helped after the Broncos, his Broncos demise. And of course, he had 16 months with Eddie Jones in the English Rugby Union. So he said that rounded me off as well, gave me a different aspect, different look at sport, coaching. He said Eddie's great at self-improvement. Anthony Seibold's into that stuff. So he'll certainly come back a good coach. Let's not forget, too, he did win Coach of the Year at Souths in 2018. So there's no doubt Anthony Seibold can coach. Hmm. But for whatever reason, whether it was his DNA, chemistry, it just imploded spectacularly up there in Brisbane. But he's got another chance.
Well, we all think we know why Manly struggled last year. And there's two that stand out for me. Is one, Tom went down and he's back training really well. But the other one was the saga around the Pride jersey and, you know, the refusal of players to wear that. Will Manly do that again next year, do you think?
What has unfolded, Laurie, as I understand, is that Manly or other clubs have said to the NRL, if you want a Pride jersey, you organise it through the RLPA. So I think the responsibility of a rainbow jersey round will go to the NRL now. They'll look after it. So it will be taken out of the hands of the clubs individually.
Will that make it compulsory for all clubs to do it?
Well,
Is that what we're saying?
I don't know whether it fixes the problem, Clarkie.
So they'll have to get the support of the Players Association.
Correct.
Yep.
Look, if the RLPA are on board, the players may do it. But I don't think the NRL taking over from the clubs guarantees that those players will still do it again next year.
Yeah, what happens?
They might say, look, yeah, we don't care who organises it. We're not playing. Yeah. Josh Alloway has already said, if it's on next year, I won't be playing. They might present it in a different way, Clarkey. Yeah. It might not be presented as a pride jersey round. Hmm. So let's just see what unfolds in terms of how they sell it to the players, how they sell it to the RLPA. And if the RLPA are on board, I'm sure they would ask for all their players to be combined here so it isn't fragmented.
And Bulldog Seibold said he's been speaking with Tom Trbojevic regularly.
Yeah, we know during the off-season, Mido, that Tom and Jake were particularly unsettled when Dez was sacked. They were very close to Dez. So Seibold has obviously played it very smart, been in constant contact with Tom. And last week, week two of Manly's return to training, Tom was given the Trainer of the Week award. So I guess that proves once and for all that Tom is back. He's fit, he's healthy, and he's keen. And clearly Anthony Seibold needs him on board emotionally and physically.
What about the story in the paper today about Ryan Madison? You know, he accepted that, you know, he got charged in the grand final last year and he had a couple of matches that he was suspended for and he could either opted to take the fine or sit out, I think it was three matches. In today's paper, and Buzz has written about it, about how he's now wants to pay the fine and be a part of those games. Should he be allowed to do that, in your opinion?
The way it was explained to me, Loz, was that he had a certain period of time to lodge his plea post-grand final. It wasn't done quickly because he was upset. He'd lost the grand final. Parramatta had drowned their sorrows and they were shattered at losing. The NRL gave him an extension of 2 hours, which isn't a lot when you think about it. And then in the end, I think, exasperated, Madison just said, look, I'll plead guilty.
You can imagine what's going on. He's lost the grand final, so they've celebrated Sunday, Monday into Tuesday, and he's gone, oh, I don't really want to go somewhere and have a look at it and go and spend 3 hours with a solicitor to go through the incident and come up with a plan to try and defend it. He just thought, well, my season's over, I'll bugger it, I'll
stuff
miss
it
out. Yeah.
Of course, now he's realised that maybe he does want to play. So, look, as I understand, one appeal was denied, but he is going back for a second appeal. Look, I hope they, you know, rules are rules, but you've got to treat every case on its merits. I think he's entitled to go back now, under the circumstances.
Yeah, I think he is too. I think he's entitled to go back and say, listen, these are the circumstances. We'd lost the grand final. I was with my mates. We were, you know, celebrating the year that we'd had. We were drowning our sorrows. I didn't really want to go and spend half a day with a solicitor to work out what our defence was going to be. I just, in the end, thought, well, I'll just cop the suspension. And I think he was upset that he got suspended as well, or was facing three games on the sideline.
And given a two-hour extension, which is not much, Loz.
Yeah.
2 hours.
So
I don't see why there was a rush. They could have given him a day or two or three.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm hoping now if he goes to them and says he wants to pay the fine that he's right to play.
Now, Dean Bulldog Richie joining us. He's also written a soccer story in the paper today, in the Telegraph.
Ooh, stepping out of your lane.
And of course, he
versatile, Clarkie.
Stay in your lane, mate. Next you'll be coming into cricket.
I can open, I can keep, actually, I can open the bowling.
Actually, next
he'll be commentating, watch his first test match, he'll be criticising
a little bit
Pat Cummins. Bowled too short.
A little bit of finger spin. I can do it all.
Use the spinners enough.
Well, just on that, because he went outside his lane on the Sunday sports show that he does. Did you do your interview on Sunday?
Yeah, I did. He rang me at
what time did he ring?
9 o'clock. I think it was 9:10. I was on air.
How long did he keep you on for?
Mate, he wouldn't let me go.
No.
I thought he told me. He told me last Wednesday.
It was 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yep.
Mate, I was on there for at least 30.
You were supposed to go after 10.
Man, stop asking me questions.
Once I started asking about yourself.
Is that right? Well, don't worry. You'll get that invoice in the mail. Don't worry about that.
I was going to say,
they jumped at Mildura and Clarkie was still talking.
Don't worry about that. You'll be seeing my invoice.
Very
and
good.
Sunday's double time and a half.
No, ooh. I shouldn't say that. It was very good of you, Clarkie, and it was a good interview. We really enjoyed it.
Okay, stop being nice.
Yeah, I know. That might be
nice. That lasted
you know, 1 second. With absolutely no sincerity whatsoever.
Well, you told us last week that you went to Graham Arnold's wedding, so naturally you've spoken to Graham Arnold's wife.
Yeah, did she remember you?
Of course she did. Of course she did.
Hello? How did you get my number?
You got the wrong number. I think you got the wrong number. Had to call on private.
Oh, Dean, yeah.
No, she called me Dane. She said, oh, hi, Dane, how are you going? I said, no, it's Dean. But her name is Sarah Arnold, and it was a good story, in that she
You remembered her name, that's right. That's good. Graham, well done.
She protects Graham from the vitriol on social media. And the hammering Arnie gets, and Clarkie, you're on social, and Loz, you are to some degree.
Just checking it now, actually.
You guys get a whack, no doubt, like most high-profile people. So Sarah just couldn't believe the vitriol on there, and she was... For Graham, it didn't bother him. Arnie's a tough old cookie, and he's from the old school, but for Sarah, it really, really gets to her. Hmm. She says, I shouldn't go on there, but I just can't help myself. Yeah. But she doesn't tell Graham because she's frightened that he will take it to heart. So she actually protects her husband, which is lovely. Even right now, yesterday, she was reading other texts which were being critical of Graham. But yeah, it doesn't bother Arnie. He's, as I said, he's from the old school. But it does hurt. Look, there's you're inhuman if you read stuff like that and it doesn't get to you.
Well, we all accept when you're a part of sport or whatever industry, at some stage, people are going to be critical and they're entitled to have their opinion. And everyone agrees with that. But then it goes to the next level where people are attacking you.
Personal abuse.
Personally.
Bullying.
And you know, for me, that's where it becomes uncomfortable. And again, no one likes that. No one likes reading it. No one likes hearing it. And they shouldn't have to deal with it. But you have, because you've been a part of sporting environments, have mechanisms to be able to handle it. Don't like it, but you can handle it. But it does affect your family and your close friends, because when they read it, they get a lot more upset than what you do.
As a journo, like, we cop a fair bit. You guys probably cop more than I do, but you know, they don't like journos and they'll have a crack. And I don't mind that. I'm open for debate. I'm open to be criticised. I'm not being precious. But when it crosses that line, I think that's the line in the sand. And what annoys me more than anything is the people that do it are generally under a false name. And I always go back saying, look, if you've got the courage to come forward and give me your name, absolutely, I'm more than happy to debate you in public. You know my name. I've put it up on social. But you're hiding. So you're a coward and you're a troll.
Yeah.
But if you want to put your name forward, more than happy. Very, and suddenly it's well gone. Said. And then if you block them, they go away and moan, oh, he's blocked me. Yeah. You know, when it's like, well, you knew it. Clarkie, you must cop it all the time.
I block people every day. I couldn't give it. I don't care. Mm. I don't care what they say anymore. Honestly.
Did it impact on you?
100%. Mm. Destroyed me. Mm. Mate, it was so hard. It was some of the stuff that was written was devastating. Like, so personal. And people that don't know you, don't know your position, don't know how you feel, and don't know how low you are at certain stages of your life. Yeah, devastating. Mm. Now, honestly, if I feel any part of me that doesn't feel happy or content or confident or comfortable in my life, I just don't look at the comment. I just don't bother. And that's the thing. I think the power is still in your hands. You don't have to look at social media. You don't have to use social media. You don't have to pick your phone up if you don't want to. It's these days, it's there 24/7, and you do it. But yeah, and it's easy for me to sit here and say that now because I'm at a stage where, honestly, I could not. It's like how I treat paparazzi now versus how I did 10 years ago. Very different. I hated them. Now I'll wave, say g'day, don't care.
People don't realise, Clarkie, and I'm not just talking about you here. People don't realise how low some people are in their lives, mate, emotionally. Yeah. And to cop that at that period of your life, as you said, it's devastating.
Yeah. Well, I reckon this thing going on at the moment with I don't know, is it Mark?
And Matt Wright.
Matt Wright. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to get into it because I know nothing about it, but just watching what went down at the airport, unless you have been in that position, you have no idea how tough that is. And, mate, when he turned up the airport, he had his wife and child. And again, innocent, guilty. I'm not getting involved in that. I'm just saying what... That footage, I've been in that position, and it is the most disgusting place in the world. To have cameras shoved in your face, journalists like walking like in your lane, shoving a microphone in your face, that there, you remember that for the rest of your life, you know?
I think it's only appropriate that we finish on this text message that's coming.
You blokes have been giggling like schoolgirls, so it's got to be good.
Okay, there's no name to this text message.
Of course. There's two of them. Yeah. There's actually more than two now.
What does that fathead bullfrog know about football? What a try-hard D-head.
Oh, just what I was talking about. Clarky, I'm devastated.
Shut up, bulldog, you flog.
On that note.
Unreal, hey. Isn't it unreal? But we love you, mate.
Thank you, bulldog. Love you, doggy. Me. Thank you.